You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
You're listening to the NASP Podcast. The Specialty Pharmacy Podcast is a collaboration with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy, the NASP, and the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The mission of the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy is to improve specialty pharmacy practice by promoting continuing professional education and certification of specialty pharmacists while advocating for public policies that ensure patient access to specialty medications. As the healthcare industry's leading podcast dedicated to the pharmacy profession, the Pharmacy Podcast Network is proud to bring our listeners the NASP Podcast in partnership with the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy.
Hello, and welcome to the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy Podcast. My name is Sheila Arquette, and I am the Executive Director of NASP. We are very pleased to present part two of a two-part podcast series entitled The Importance of Home Infusion and Your Specialty Pharmacy Program Strategy, in partnership with the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Listen in as Amy Swanson, the Director of Marketing and Member Relations for Accelera, Tim Affelt, the Vice President of Specialty Infusion Operations at Fairview Pharmacy Services, LLC, and Brett Benfield, the Regional Manager of Home Infusion and Compounding Operations, also at Fairview Pharmacy Services, LLC, continue their dialogue discussing strategies for incorporating home infusion in your specialty pharmacy program. This podcast focuses on best practices for common issues encountered in home infusion pharmacy operations.
Welcome to the National Association of Specialty Pharmacy Podcast, The Importance of Home Infusion in Your Specialty Pharmacy Program Strategy, Part 2. My name is Amy Swanson. I'm the Director of Marketing and Member Relations for Accelera, and I'll be serving as your host for today's podcast. NASP is proud to bring their members the NASP Podcast in partnership with Pharmacy Podcast, one of the many benefits of NASP membership. Today, we're privileged to have Tim Affelt and Brett Benfield, two industry-leading experts on specialty pharmacy and home infusion from Fairview Health, with us today. Tim Affelt is a PharmD and Vice President of the Specialty and Infusion Operations of Fairview Pharmacy Services, based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Tim joined Fairview Pharmacy Services in September 2013. Prior to joining Fairview, he spent 19 years at the Walgreens Company as a district pharmacy supervisor, where he led the implementation of specialty MTM and diabetes programs at Walgreens in Minnesota. Tim is a graduate of the University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy, a former Pharmacy Alumni Society board member, and remains active at the College of Pharmacy as a mentor to first-year students, involvement in the Leading Change in Pharmacy program. He holds an adjunct assistant professorship at the University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy in the Department of Pharmaceutical Care and Health Systems. Mr. Affelt is a member of the Minnesota American Diabetes Association Community Leadership Board and the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, MnDakota's chapter board. Tim is a current member of the Minnesota Pharmacists Association, ASHP, NASP, and NHIA. Brett Benfield is a PharmD and MS who serves as the Regional Manager of Home Infusion and Compounding Operations at Fairview Pharmacy Services. Brett joined Fairview Pharmacy Services in July 2014 as a first-year Health System Pharmacy Administration resident with a focus in ambulatory pharmacy operations. After completion of this two-year residency and his master's in social and administrative pharmacy, for 3 years he managed a Fairview Community Pharmacy in the mHealth Clinics and Surgery Center building. Fairview Pharmacy Services is an integral part of Fairview Health Services, one of the largest healthcare systems in Minnesota, and a partner of the University of Minnesota Medical Center and University of Minnesota Children's Hospital. Fairview serves patients from across the state of Minnesota, the upper Midwest, and beyond. To learn more about Fairview Home Infusion, visit their webpage at fairview.org/services/home-infusion. Now, before we get into our topic, we'll remind the listeners of the connection between our two companies. In 2009, Fairview Health was one of six founding health systems of Accelera, a network comprised of health systems, IDNs, and large academic medical centers with a deep commitment to caring for complex pharmacy patients. Today, Accelera Rx Corporation is a healthcare company that empowers integrated delivery networks, health systems, and large academic medical centers to provide integrated care for complex pharmacy patients, leading to improved health outcomes and decreased healthcare costs. To learn more about Accelera, visit www.accelerarx.com. Well, thank you to Tim and Brett for leading us through part one of our podcast series on the importance of home infusion to your specialty pharmacy strategy. Today in part two, we'll discuss some best practices or common issues you may encounter once your home infusion pharmacy is operational. So let's move right into the questions. Tim, you know, there are many shared challenges and opportunities between specialty pharmacy and home infusion. Do you mind sharing what health systems are doing to combat these challenges, as well as capture some of the opportunities?
Sure. So I would say the challenges that are consistent both between specialty and home infusion. Number one is lockout. So you do not have the ability to take care of your patients because of a payer lockout or a pharma lockout, and that can be consistent between both types of pharmacies, along with IT challenges within both systems related to your dispensing system may be different than the EMR within your health system. I would say those are the biggest challenges for us that we work on every day, you know, from having both a payer and a pharma teams that focus on payer lockout and pharma lockout. And that is something we now do for both specialty pharmacy and for our home infusion pharmacy. And then related to IT, we work with our EMR for our health system to build out specialty pharmacy and home infusion pharmacy into their EMR. Those are how we have gone about taking on those challenges. In terms of the opportunities, it's really to show that you have that better care model. We've been showing that in specialty pharmacy for quite some time. We are now able to show the same thing within home infusion, that we can provide a better patient experience, get better outcomes, and do it at lower costs when it's kept within the health system.
So if you think about the traditional health system care model where care is coordinated, there's an integration and access to patient information, when you extend into home infusion, it really amplifies that model and allows home infusion and specialty pharmacy to work in concert for the patient's benefit.
I would agree.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the synergies that exist between home infusion and specialty pharmacy. Name a few that you feel are especially salient, Brett.
These days, I think we're seeing more and more of the home infusion therapies becoming available oral, or maybe we're just sharing more patients, or maybe the first couple doses have to be administered in the home by a nurse, and then they're able to self-administer after that. So we're having a lot of patients hand off between the home infusion department, specialty department, and we're able to do an easy transition of care because we're literally across the wall from each other. So we can walk back and forth, and if anyone has problems, we can visit with each other face to face and have these conversations to make an easier transition for a patient if they're moving seamlessly between one of our departments and the other. Many times we're also sharing the same patient, and so if we know that we're sharing the same patient, we can have the conversation. Let's say it's a patient that's more difficult to get in touch with. We can share, I call them on Monday mornings because that's whenever they're at the beauty salon or whatever it may be. And then we know we're able to have those conversations with each other better.
Great. So you mentioned different sites of care for home infusion patients. Regarding specialty home infusions for the non-homebound patient, tell me a little bit about your contracting. Are you contracting with outside nursing agencies to administer the drug? And if you are contracting with outside agencies, how are you incentivizing them to support long infusion such as IVIG or Remicade?
Absolutely. We contract with many outside agencies. We have about 85 nurses ourselves. So strong team of nurses, wonderful, but they are mostly based in the Twin Cities metro. And for anyone who's not familiar with Minnesota, really 90% of the population is kind of centered around Twin Cities metro area. So the rural population can stretch very wide outside of Minnesota, which I didn't know until I moved here. There is something north of Minneapolis, and there's a lot of land up there, so it's got to be covered. So we have close partnerships with our nursing agencies, or we call them regional agencies, who are able to take care of the patients that are outside of our little ring of area here. We incentivize them just through the contracts that we make with them. We make sure that it's a two-way street in the conversation we have about how are we going to reimburse them for their services. We have a couple of different models. One model is we allow them. We provide the drug, they bill for all their nursing themselves. Another way that they're able to do that we do it is we do all the billing for them, and then it's just a contractual handoff of whatever we've determined is that fee.
So earlier when we talked a little bit about synergies, you mentioned nurses and the ability to build synergies between sites of care. Are you hiring and deploying your own home infusion nurses? You mentioned, I think, 85 to administer drugs, or can you speak a little bit to that?
Yeah, absolutely we are. So we have a, like I said, a strong group of nurses. Before myself and likely before Tim, we realized that the home care population of nurses is really great with a lot of things, but the highly skilled IV needs that a nurse needs to have for, you know, some of these really high tech and high touch therapies, it's something that you need to see day in and day out to be really successful and have those competencies. So at that time, it was decided that we would hire our own nurses, and that has since ballooned given the number of therapies we're now doing in the home. So yes, that's kind of what led to us having our own nurses and really just helping us keep a close eye on our core group of nurses and deliver the care that we think that patients should have with us.
Great. And Tim, related to contracting, what contracting considerations or decisions are you making as it pertains to specialty home infusion services? So for example, are you simply leveraging existing commercial and medical contracts? Are you seeking out additional prescription drug plan or Part D contracts? Are you attempting to access LDDs, et cetera?
I would say yes to all of those, but you know, more specifically, you know, at times we're taking our health systems contract with a health plan, and then we're adding in home infusion. Sometimes we are being asked by even a PBM to add it to that contract related to these specialty infusions. You know, you may see the specialty infusions being added to a specialty contract and added on in that way. So we've had to do that. And we, you know, we keep track of when we basically have a payer that pops up that we, you know, that we cannot take care of them or that they do not have a home infusion benefit. And then we are reaching out to try to set that up with that health plan. In terms of basically limited distribution, you know, that it hasn't been as prevalent with medical billing and with home infusion, although it is growing. You know, we have seen more and more home infusion or infused drugs that are not going to be available for every home infusion pharmacy that's out there. So we've implemented the same strategies of reviewing pipelines and starting those conversations with those pharma companies even before they're approved to ensure that they understand how we would take care of those patients and to ensure that we will get access to those drugs. And then many times having to sign the same type of contracts and provide data for those drugs coming out of your home infusion pharmacy.
Great. So speaking of pharma, do you have a standard process for vetting and reviewing new specialty infusion therapies prior to infusing the drug in the home? Can you speak a little bit up to your protocols or policies and maybe talk a little bit about whether newer therapies are presented in a committee structure for servicing in the home?
Yeah, so within our home infusion department, we have basically a clinical quality and safety committee that comprises of a number of our different leaders and our clinicians, along with our medical directors for our home infusion department. And they will review every new infused drug, and to see if it gets approved by that committee to be used by home infusion within our system. And that usually will also include, you know, especially in a rare disease category, we go out and we find that rare disease expert within our system and we get their feedback on whether or not we believe this will be a drug that will move into the home based on a number of factors.
Great. So let's pivot a little bit and talk about providers. Earlier you mentioned that partnerships are key, and especially around education of providers and those referrals. So could you talk a little bit about how you engage providers and maintain meaningful relationships, especially when a lot of the documentation for a typical health system would be outside of the EMR?
Yeah, so within our system, you know, what we do is we've worked with, a majority of our home infusion patients are from our system, and we've worked with our providers, not only having liaisons out in all of our hospitals and clinics, which are RNs out in our clinics and hospitals, but then also meeting with many of our providers and gaining feedback on them on what type of information would they want us to put back into our EMR system, since our dispensing system is our EMR for home infusion and it is different from the system's EMR. we have gained insights into that and are now able to put information back into our systems EMR so that providers can see that information, can see some of the clinical documentation, some of the information that nurses are gathering out in the home on those patients so that the provider can see that information, especially with our specialty infusion drugs.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about site of care shifts. Brett, do you want to speak to how you manage site of care shifts and what you might structure differently now that you've been in home infusion for quite some time?
Absolutely. So we work very closely with our infusion counterparts. They're the ones who generally identify the site of care shift whenever they go to secure benefits in the infusion center. They reach out to us saying, looks like this is going to need to shift to you in the coming days, months, whatever it may be. So we have a close communication so that they hand that off to us. And then we work to get the new orders, get the billing accurate, and basically ensuring that this patient is a good candidate for home infusion as well. So it's once we find out that this patient is going to be on service with us, it's the same kind of checklist of, is this a good candidate for home infusion that we would with any other patient. If it's not, then we can pursue PAs to get them back in the most, the safest place for them to receive therapy. If we were doing this all over again, I think what I would probably suggest for anyone working towards building a home infusion company right now is start out with a department, an infusion and home infusion department that are more closely related and have an infusion or have an intake department who's running benefits, securing benefits that are, overlapping more. So this allows for an easier transition between sites of care. I'm interested in Tim's thoughts, though.
And Tim, I'd love to hear a little bit about, is there a revenue delta created by home infusion that would, otherwise be happening within your infusion centers due to site of care shifts? And if so, how are you managing or offsetting that revenue delta?
Yeah, I think that's one of the worries for many health systems, including ours for a long time, was that every patient that shifts out of our basically a hospital-based infusion chair to a home setting or to a freestanding clinic setting is going to cost you revenue within your system. And I think in reality now, because of the growth of specialty infusions, especially within oncology, really you don't see any loss of revenue because as soon as you move a patient to the home, that chair is immediately backfilled in that hospital-based infusion center by a patient that is not a good candidate for the home or the drug is not a good candidate for the home. So in our system, we're not seeing it affect our revenue. In fact, it only probably has increased our revenue because our home infusion department is growing and yet our infusion centers remain full. And so we have not noticed that, and that is something I would think that most health systems would also not notice any drop in revenue.
So I think bottom line, I'm hearing you gentlemen say that home infusion is a nice complement to your specialty pharmacy programs. It can drive revenue, it can help with patient care, it can also help with coordination of care within the system as a whole. So I want to thank you for your time today and for helping us understand the importance of home infusion to your specialty pharmacy program. This does conclude another specialty pharmacy podcast. Again, thank you to our distinguished guests, Tim Affelt and Brett Binfield. A reminder that the recording of this podcast will be available on the NASP website shortly. Please visit nasp.wildapricot.org/specialty-pharmacy-podcast or the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Thanks again and have a great day.
On behalf of NASP and the Pharmacy Podcast Network, thank you for listening today. A special thank you to Amy for serving as our host and to Tim and Brett for participating and sharing such important and essential information. For additional information about the topics discussed in today's podcast, please contact a member of the Accelera Home Infusion team at info@accelerarx.com.
Thanks for listening to the NASP podcast. Be sure to share this podcast with your fellow pharmacists, doctors, and healthcare providers dedicated to optimal patient care. If you have ideas for future episode topics, please email the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Send your message to publisher@pharmacypodcast.com.